With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The final week of August is a busy one for economic data.
I think the highlight of the week for us will be the consumer spending report that comes out on Thursday. It'll also give us a sense of whether inflation continues to build. There are signs that that is happening, and this will give us a further peek into that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell has the details. But first, here are some top stories. The demise of Toys R Us wasn't just due to the rise of competition, namely from Amazon. The Wall Street Journal's Gretchen Morgenson says after a disastrous holiday season, the company wanted to reorganize, and suppliers were willing to keep filling shelves. But a small group of hedge funds pushed the 70-year-old retailer over the edge.
What this case showed was the stark contrast between the vast number of people who were trying to make this reorganization work and a very small group of people who figured out that it was worth more to them dead than alive.
Morgenson says it shows the power creditors have in bankruptcy proceedings. Toys R Us announced its liquidation in March. Vendors face at least $350 million in losses. Waymo is making moves in China. Alphabet's self-driving unit has opened an office in Shanghai to design and test driverless vehicles. That's according to a filing Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, made on a business registration website in China. The company still needs to obtain a license to test its autonomous vehicles. BMW and Daimler were the only foreign automakers to receive licenses to do so this year. Top manufacturing companies are competing to create the world's most powerful wind turbine. They include General Electric, which hopes to build a 12-megawatt turbine. But companies face plenty of challenges, from building and moving the turbine's giant blades to remotely operating them to fix problems. Experts are anticipating a boom in the offshore wind market in the coming decades, especially along the Atlantic coast in the United States. Pet insurance premiums reached a record high of $1 billion last year. Once a niche product, the pet insurance industry is growing, and quickly. More than 1.8 million pets were insured last year, marking a 16% increase from the previous year. The Wall Street Journal continues to follow the latest developments in the Michael Cohen case. President Trump's former personal lawyer pleaded guilty to campaign finance violations last week. For our complete coverage, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Still to come, this week's economic calendar. The final week of August brings an abundance of economic data, including consumer confidence and consumer sentiment, plus personal income and outlays, the latest revision to GDP, and data on the health of the housing market. And joining us now from Washington to break it all down is Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell. Josh, this week pretty much gets going on Tuesday with a couple of reports, including consumer confidence. We know that a strong economy has consumers spending more, but there's also the worry about trade threats, and that's somewhat dampened the outlook for the future. What will you be looking for in this report?
Well, yes, consumer confidence is still very high. But one of the things that we've seen is in recent months, consumers say that they feel really good about the present state of the economy, but that they're starting to get more and more concerned about the future of the economy. And so if we see that trend continue, it sort of raises questions about how sustainable this growth phase is that we're in. We have seen overall economic growth pick up in the first half of this year. But if consumers start to get more and more concerned about the coming months, then that might affect how much they spend, for example, and that raises questions about whether we can stay in this sort of 3% growth rate that we appear to be about to be in.
And speaking of trade tensions, Tuesday we'll see international trade in goods. Are we starting to see at all the impact of trade disputes in those numbers?
No, we haven't really seen that yet. At least we haven't really. It's kind of hard to parse out what effect the tariffs are having on trade. You know, in one sense, the tariffs may have actually boosted imports in the short term because businesses may be trying to buy more and more goods before the tariffs take effect. So it'll be a bit longer before we can see that parse out. But we do know that, you know, if the trade deficit begins to expand, which it has recently, then that could affect overall GDP figures, and it'll affect the outlook for the rest of the year.
Let's talk about some of the housing data out this week. On Tuesday, we'll get the home price index, and pending home sales are out the following day on Wednesday. The trend has been rising prices and tightening inventory. Do economists expect that to continue?
It's a big question mark right now because we have seen existing home sales, the main measure of sales and the housing industry, have been declining over the past 4 months. And so, one of the big questions right now is the housing market, has it lost steam? Has it peaked? And has the bubble burst? But is this a period of a temporary blip, or is this a longer term trend of the housing market losing steam? But the one thing that has looked good this year is home prices continue to rise. They were up 6.4% in May over the prior year. So it looks like there are still a lot of people out there who want to buy homes. The question is, how much further can prices rise while Americans still being able to afford those homes? And so I think ultimately something's going to have to give here. The question is, how soon is that going to happen? And we just haven't seen prices ease at all this year. And so it'll be interesting to see if that trend turns with sales just going down.
And on Wednesday, we'll also see the latest revision to GDP. Do you think we'll see much change there?
I don't think we'll see much change in the GDP figure, which was about 4.1% in the second quarter. That was the government's first estimate. This will be the second estimate, so I expect that to be roughly the same. But this report does have corporate profits. It'll show us, basically how much corporations earned in the spring. And what'll be interesting is, how do those profits look, given that this will be a snapshot of just after the tax cuts started to take effect. Obviously, retail sales have been pretty good. Consumers are spending a lot, and that has helped earnings among the retail firms. And so this will be a good snapshot of just overall how corporations are doing this year. I think overall they look pretty good, but this will give us a precise picture.
And on to the latter half of the week, we'll get some data on household spending with personal income and outlays on Thursday. And that's right before the latest report on consumer sentiment out on Friday. We talked a little bit about consumers earlier. Together, what can these reports tell us about generally how consumers are feeling about the economy?
Well, I think what the personal income and spending report will tell us is just how the economy is performing in the second half of the year. Again, we had a really strong first half, and keep in mind, when we talk about economic growth, most of that is coming from consumers. And so if we see consumers continuing to spend at a high rate, this will be the July figures, then this will really give us a sense of just how the economy is performing in the third quarter. And, a lot of economists are saying they're expecting 3% growth at an annual rate this quarter. Well, this report could kind of make or break those estimates there. If we start to see consumers pull back, that might cause economists to pull back their own projections of GDP growth, and it could raise questions about, just how sustainable, our strong growth that we've seen in recent months is. Keep in mind, it's only 1 month of spending, so we don't want to draw too broad conclusions, but this will give us a really big peek about what the economy is doing these days.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Mitchell joining us from Washington to talk about the economic data that's out this week. Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.